morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. This is Thursday, and I've got Scott Williams here as a guest. Connor, who do we? How could someone call in these last 10 minutes, 12
probably
minutes?
Call 844-967-2789.
All right. Well, I just noticed it came over the, actually, my Apple phone, my Apple Watch alerted me to the fact that Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years today by a Russian court with respect to the drug charge she had against her. And it's interesting to me the amount of attention we've paid to that. And the innuendo behind it all is how unreasonable it is that this American personality would be arrested in Russia on a drug charge and then tried in court about it. And we're asserting that it's all a part of the conflict between Russia and the United States that's arisen out of the Ukraine issue. But what would we have done in the United States if an American or a French person, we've in fact had, there have been issues associated with athletes in the United States. She was carrying apparently hashish oil. She claimed it was for health purposes. I suspect it kept her psyche healthy at least. But you know, the fact is that she's being held accountable for a law there that she violated. And how discriminatory is it that she was searched for it? I don't know. But this is all a part of an American process we have for vilifying various countries. We have the same kind of attention paid to any legal actions that occur in China that relate to American citizens. What worries me is this fact that we do this, you know, that we tend to paint various countries with a black brush and to vilify them. And the media does it because it's good media. You know, we're all reading about Brittany Griner. We all care about it for some reason. But we don't really think through exactly what's going on. And we tend to vilify Russia as being a country that's heinous enough to arrest this Brittany Griner and now try her in court, when, in fact, in the United States, we have more people incarcerated than any other country in the world by orders of magnitude. We have people incarcerated for drug crimes in numbers that are far greater than any other country by orders of magnitude.
I think the rational side of the concern is probably the conditions in which she would be incarcerated, and is she, are they going to somehow try to make an example of her based on a bias that exists? I agree, though, 100%. I mean, if you know, we have politicians like Trump running on the idea that we're letting murderous drug dealing thugs into our country, and that's you know, the risk we're running them. So when in fact someone does have drugs and admit that it was their drugs and they knowingly went into a country with much stricter rules and laws surrounding that, you know, you take on that. Now, the defense is that she claims she didn't know that she brought them, but that's not a defense for drunk driving either.
Right. And
I didn't know I was drunk.
Yeah. Connor?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of think it's incredibly, incredibly doesn't make any sense from my perspective. I mean, I understand, like, Russia has their separate laws and such, and it is hypocritical for us to criticize them when we do have such lots of people in jail for petty drug crimes. But I think at the same time, it's more about their legal process than anything.
And
the sentencing too. I mean, 9.5 years. I mean, even in America, you wouldn't get something like that.
No. I mean, obviously,
100%. I agree with that.
No, there's no question. But you know, our legal process would be subject to just as much question when you look at the data, right? Who is it that gets convicted of what crimes, and what does the demographic look like? And if you simply look at the data, it begins to look a lot like we have lots of political criminals in jail, right? I mean, we've got lots of people who are in jail, and demographically, when you analyze it, you have to scratch your head and say.
And we put people to death, and some countries object to that. You know, they'll keep known murderers in their country.
Well, we're one of a handful of countries that have the death penalty still intact. So, you know, our political process and our judicial process is not beyond question. My only point is that we tend to vilify just a couple of countries, and as soon as we vilify them, they become our enemy, and we become their enemy. And that enemy status has everything to do, probably, with the sentence Brittany Griner just got. We have painted Russia as our enemy. We have therefore become their enemy. Their conduct is related to what they believe to be their enemy status with us. When we want to put a NATO base or talk about putting establishing a NATO alliance with Ukraine and putting a NATO base in Ukraine, that looks to Russia like a very aggressive action. If in fact we are their enemy and they are our enemy, and we had begun to paint them into the corner as our enemy beginning in about 2008 or 2010. And at that point, it was really, in my mind, the result of a Russophobia, this knee-jerk fear of Russia that we had generated during the Cold War, mm-hmm. when, in fact, the reason for the Cold War was communism.
Yeah. We got a caller, by the way.
Okay, who's Bob, the caller?
Bob from Wisconsin, East Coast.
Okay, Bob. Yeah. Bob, what do you have to say?
Well, good morning, Sandy, and your son, and Scott, and Connor. What I have to say is that Brittany Griner was not traveling as she was traveling as an individual. She was also traveling as somebody who was a member of an athletic group in Russia. And I'm surprised that she wasn't better represented by them, anticipating the problems she have with anything she'd have with her. I'm surprised that they didn't have her travel agent go through her, look at her luggage,
yeah,
and make sure everything cleared.
Yeah, Bob, the team she was playing for, though, was a Russian team. She was playing for a Russian professional basketball team. So she would be subject, I suppose, to the same restrictions and laws as the rest of that Russian basketball team, which I presume was comprised of not only Americans and other non-Russians, but Russians as well. So I'm not sure whether her status as a team member should provide some level of favoritism associated with...
No, I'm not asking for favoritism.
Uh-huh.
What I'm asking for is for them to take her under their wing,
uh-huh.
and make sure that everything went smoothly.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like it's oversight. Like if you're playing for this Russian team and they're knowledgeable of exactly what the laws are, they should communicate.
Oh, I see. So, but it's the Russian team though that should have been exercising the Russian government.
And if the assumption here that we're all making is that it actually was a mistake, I'm not suggesting that she's lying about that. But if she was actually trying to bring it with her and she knew that she shouldn't. And then she wouldn't tell them about that or let them see it.
Yeah. But if it was a prescription for pain, then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the United States, I hear you on that.
Yeah, yeah.
That complicates for sure.
Well, I guess my point is more. Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. My point is more general, though. It's this question of how do we decide who our enemies are, and then what is the result of that decision? And as I've said before, that decision about who are our enemies tends to be made by wizards, and then we get presented with the definition of our enemies. And incidentally, whoever we define as our enemy is ipso facto then our enemy, because they have to resolve that if they are our enemy, we are their enemy, and all of our action would be viewed differently in that context. And that's, in my book, one of the problems associated with how the Ukraine current situation in Ukraine has generated over the last 14 years. And it's my terrible concern about what's now happening in China, because we have increasingly declared China to be our enemy, which of course increasingly makes us China's enemy, which increasingly dictates the kind of conduct we carry out with China and they carry out with us.
And it also completely ignores our economic codependency on one another with the way that we are inextricably intertwined.
Yes. So that, I mean, with China, we're really playing with fire. And I know that was what Xi Jinping said about when you play with fire, you get burned. But we are playing with fire when we're playing with China. And the declaration, our declaration of our conduct with respect to them, vilifying them as our enemy, is going to create a very difficult problem. And Nancy Pelosi's trip there was a further declaration of that. And if you look at the sequence of events that have happened since 1979, when we signed a treaty with them, creating the One China policy and basically making Taiwan a formal part of China without directly declaring it, we have since then reneged on a successive basis from that treaty, step back from it. And as we step back from it, it's always been because we think China maybe is our enemy, which is making us their enemy. I think we're closing in on the end of today.
Yep. No, 1 minute left.
Should just focus on the Bears. You know, like, keep the Bears as our enemy.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dick is driving.
The unfortunate admission, I am a Bears fan.
Oh, no, well, Connor. That, there goes the neighborhood.
That confirms it, Connor.
Yeah.
I mean,
that, I had a suspicion.
Yeah.
It was just a twitchy feeling I had when you came in the room.
Suspiciously quiet when you guys were talking about the Packers.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bears... you know, if they're one of my favorite teams, but...
Because they don't have the quarterback, you know?
Yeah, that's right. When they get the quarterback...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they'll be a bigger problem.
They don't have the good team.
Yeah.
They don't have the winning team yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll sign off.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for dealing with me, everyone.
Yeah. Connor,
thank you.
Have a good day. See you tomorrow.